Good morning and welcome. It's good to gather for worship as a newly forming campus community of first-year students, parents, family members, returning students, faculty, and staff. Yesterday, we launched orientation weekend with the theme Connect, and many of you were welcomed to EMU in a variety of ways. And this morning, the EMU campus ministry team welcomes you in the deep love and grace of God and the promise and hope of Jesus. As we offer and embrace the fullness of welcome, may we experience the very presence of God among us. Let's open with prayer. O God, most gracious of all hosts, receive us in our worship this day, that our lips may praise you, our lives may bless you, and our meditations may glorify you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I tell myself. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God, even with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There's no help for you there. When their breathing stops, they return to the earth. And in a moment, all of their plans come to an end. But happy are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the one who made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He is the one who keeps every promise forever, who gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts the burdens of those bent beneath their loads. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. O Jerusalem, your God is king in every generation. Praise the Lord.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, praising thee, their Son above. Mount the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away.
Hear the roaring lords of awareness, fill the Good morning. Welcome, class of 2017. For a brief few moments here, I'm just going to give a reflection of a time that I was here on campus almost 10 years ago. It seems like yesterday, but I'm just going to give you some encouragement and also hopefully that you will find something with what I'm about to say that you can apply to your lives. Connect, to join, link, or fasten together, unite or bind. When I was asked to give a brief presentation, I could have immediately thought to the times where I have had the honor to be in my best friend's weddings. I've been in two weddings so far, and they're friendships that I've built here that are still lasting and still strong. But the time that I reflect on the most was the time that I connected wasn't when I was here on campus. In 2008, when I graduated, I moved abroad to teach English in South Korea. And although I loved the Korean culture, loved the food, loved the people, enjoyed my work and what I was doing, but when the holiday times come around, you know that if anyone of you can share of being abroad, sometimes you want to see a familiar face. You want to interact with someone that you know. And so being new to the country, I didn't know many people, and it dawned on me that there were several international students that I went to school with here. And I said, you know what, I'm going to try my best to reach out to them, because I knew some of them lived in Japan and Korea and also Indonesia. And turns out they were home living with their parents. And so when Christmas came, we got a chance to get together for lunch on Christmas Day. If anybody's been to Seoul, you know Seoul, it's a city that doesn't sleep. And so there on Christmas Day, we had lunch. We laughed about times at EMU. We talked and caught up of how other friends were doing. And on the bus ride back, it just dawned on me that, you know, EMU is a place where I didn't come and I didn't just let it pass me by. I interacted, I connected as much as possible. And so that's what I charge with you guys today. Don't just let your college experience go away. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And get involved as much as you can. Organizations, going to events, connecting with your professors, going to athletic events, events in the community. Don't let it pass you by, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so I pray for you, and I hope that you enjoy your experience here at EMU.
What does it mean to connect? What exactly is the act of connecting? There are a variety of definitions for the word connection or connecting, depending on where you look or who you ask. The Urban Dictionary, for example, has a very different definition of connection than Webster Dictionary. Likewise, we all come from different contexts and have formed a different lens, which has uniquely created our idea of connection and what connecting looks like. In the same way that we find different definitions for connection, we ourselves each come bringing our own experiences dealing with connection. For some of us, connection may mean to build a meaningful relationship, to find someone who has gone through a similar situation as ourselves, to feel close with a roommate. For others, connecting may bring back painful memories of broken relationships, unkept promises, abuse, or hurt. Both of these experiences are true and valid. And of course, this is going to impact the way we connect with others in community. But I would like to propose that as Christians, we are called to move our focus to a new model of connecting. A connection that is not solely defined by our past experiences, but by our relationship with Jesus Christ. One place in the Bible that can help us evaluate our definition of connection is Ecclesiastes 4. It is here that we are reminded that though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. The strength of a relationship grows when God is added within the connection. When two or three are gathered, God is present and deep connections are made. How are we intentionally inviting Christ into relationships, both on and off campus? It is my hope that we as a community here at EMU embody Christ-centered connections, that by looking beyond ourselves, we may form genuine and organic relationships that are not quickly broken. As a senior serving in the role of a pastoral assistant this year, I find it my desire and my calling to live out a life focused on forming Christ-centered connections, that by extending a welcome to both new and returning students, I may, in my own small way, be building connections to God's kingdom. That by being rooted in Christ and being intentional at inviting others to the table, I may also be connected to a cord of three strands. I challenge you, class of 2017, to join us here at EMU in the journey of Christ-centered connection with others this school year.
Ephesians 3. Paul, to the church in Ephesus and believers everywhere. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. This morning, President Lauren Schwartzendruber will be bringing the message. Some of you met him yesterday, but in case you didn't, let me give an introduction, a brief introduction to him. He's worked in various roles in higher education for 30 years and is beginning his 11th year as president at Eastern Mennonite University. This includes 10 years as president of Heston College and a former pastor at Salford Mennonite Church in Harleysville, Pennsylvania. He earned his Bachelor of Arts degree from EMU, a Master of Divinity from Eastern Mennonite Seminary, and a Doctor of Ministry from Northern Baptist Theological Seminary. Lauren and his wife, Pat, are natives of Kelowna, Iowa. Pat began her career as a psychiatric nurse and completed her master's degree in administration at Notre Dame University, and after many years of healthcare administration, retired to volunteer here at EMU. They have four married children, three of whom are EMU graduates, four grandchildren ages 1 to 4. Lauren, I invite you to come this morning to bring the message.
Today is a bittersweet day. I know the feelings. I know something of how many of you as students feel, and I certainly know how the parents are feeling. Admittedly, my first year of college was many years ago, but my memory is still pretty good. Some things have changed, some things are the same. That's me on the right. Two little brothers, Maplewood dorm across the street. For the life of me, I have no idea what my brother on the left is holding, unless it's a huge fly swatter. My parents brought me here 45 years ago, 980 miles one way. And a buddy from high school came along, and we got all of our things into the trunk of one car for both of us. It took us about 20 minutes to move into Maplewood, and that was without any help from anyone. Now, here's a question. This is Maplewood, 1968, and I want to know if anyone here is assigned to this room right here. It's on the first floor, looking out over the quad. It's on the Cedarwood side. Cedarwood is off to the left, well, to our left, from looking at it this way. Anyone in that room? Apparently not. Okay. I've been thinking about putting a plaque in there. The president slept here. The problem, though, if I did that, I'm pretty certain someone would ask for a room discount. So we showed up on campus. We unloaded the car, and my parents left for home. There was no orientation for parents, none. I think they may have been on campus for a total of 30 minutes. Now, I thought about including a photo from that year from the basketball team. My buddy and I had played basketball together from grade 7 through high school, and we were the only two first-year students who were on the varsity that year. But I looked at the photos, and I was concerned by the length of the shorts, that there might be indecent exposure. So I wasn't about to include those photos. And truth be told, I mean, you just need to understand, I wouldn't even be anywhere close to the end of the bench now. I know that. But in those days, I made the team. 5 years later, Pat and I moved back to Harrisonburg again for me to begin seminary studies. This time I was both a student and a parent. Tim was 3 weeks old when we moved here. Now, this photo is from probably 3 years later. But Tim was 3 weeks old when we moved here from Elkhart, Indiana, about 600 and some miles. And I well remember coming down on 522 from Breezewood off of the turnpike, and we had him in a cardboard box in the seat, front seat between us. And some of you know what 522 is like. And he started vomiting all over the place because he wasn't used to these mountain roads. It was not a good experience. Now, here's just another Harrisonburg trivia that you have no need to know, but I think it's kind of interesting. Our daughter, who was born 20 months after our son, who's on the left there, daughter Beth, I was the first father in the history of Rockingham Memorial Hospital to be allowed into the delivery room. I didn't know that at the time, or if I did, I forgot about it. But when we moved back here 10 years ago, I was in conversation with someone who told me that it was their father who was the physician who allowed me into the delivery room. And what I found out through that was that he nearly lost his privileges at the hospital for allowing that. So I sort of thought that'd be a great article in the DNR someday. College president nearly causes physician, who was one of our alums, to lose his hospital privileges by allowing me to be in the delivery room. Last photo, 23 years later, Pat and I brought Tim from Elkhart, Indiana. We managed to stuff his things into one vehicle, but we wouldn't have had room for any other student. We stayed around for a weekend of orientation activities. In fact, my predecessor in the president's office invited me to share this very message in this service because I was involved in the Denominational Office for Higher Education. And now I look back and I realize that I should have declined because I should have simply been a parent. It would have been a much better experience. We went to lunch together in the cafeteria and then departed. Now, I want you to see both of us have really big smiles at this point. Then we left. My mother told me later that I probably watered the same plants along the road on the way back that she had watered, whatever it was, 20 plus years earlier. And we found out within about a week when we had our first conversation with Tim, we found out that he left this spot. This is the parking spot right out here, parking lot. And he left and went around in front of the campus center on his way to Roselawn, which was then a dormitory. And he started to cry. But he was really concerned because he was afraid that he would run into President Joe Lapp. So he hurried really fast to get back to Roselawn. I tell you that story because I understand all of this range of feelings. And I can tell you this, if you cry in front of the president, that's okay. So within a few weeks, we got another strange phone call from Tim. He had a question. He wanted to know why the coffee wouldn't dissolve in the hot water. He had gone to Red Front to purchase what he thought was instant coffee, and he got regular ground coffee by mistake. And that was really upsetting to me because we don't do instant coffee in our house. We grind our coffee every morning. And at that point, I wondered, what in the world were the other things that we had not taught our son before he went to college? And I could list a few things that I was worried about. And then a few weeks later, we received a handwritten letter from him. And I looked in my file earlier this week to try to find it. I didn't have enough time. I didn't find it. This was pre-email days, pre-Facebook, pre-texting, so it was a handwritten letter in pencil, and he expressed his gratitude for making it possible to be here in college, and he said something like, this made my cardiac rate go up just a little bit. He said something to the effect that if I ever have children, I will want them to come to Eastern Mennonite University, and I'm thinking, this is not the time to be talking about that yet. But he did express his gratitude for making it possible to be here, and this is the significant thing. He apologized. He apologized for having been a little frustrated that we had not purchased a car for him. So his note reminded me of the quote from Samuel Clemens, otherwise known as Mark Twain. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. So I know what it feels like to be a student coming to college for the first time and what it's like to be a parent. We did that a total of 4 times. And it is bittersweet, perhaps at least for the parents, more bitter than sweet on this particular day. As Jared and Rose have aptly reminded us, the theme for this orientation weekend is connect. And in the opening convocation on Wednesday morning, I'll explore a related theme, that of belonging. Because we are an educational institution, a university, we are first and most importantly an academic institution. After all, no matter what else happens, we do expect our students to succeed academically. And I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. Just because these first few days may feel a little like summer camp, don't allow yourself to forget that it is primarily and first of all a University. I know you're meeting new people, you're making new friends, you are connecting, and that's what we intend. It may not feel much like it this weekend, but you'll soon have a fair amount of free time, much more than you had in high school, but it's not summer camp. We do expect you to study and to study hard. And I made a little quip, and this is the danger of a lot of public speaking when you go off script. I made a little quip yesterday. Now I'm going off script again, so this may be a double danger. But yesterday I made the comment, something to the effect that if you get to midterms and you find that you've been hitting the books a little too hard, you can back off. That was really meant to be sort of tongue-in-cheek. The returning students, I hope, and most faculty and staff here understand that I have a little bit of an unpredictable and quirky sense of humor. Sometimes my family reminds me that when I say something like that that's meant to be humorous, I'm supposed to really smile so that everybody gets it. And I realized yesterday, nobody sort of laughed when I said you can back off. And in fact, I didn't really mean that. I mean, the fact is, most of you won't study harder than you should, most likely. But what I did mean by that was we do want you to have a full-orbed experience, and I'll say in a moment a little bit more about that, that we intend to be holistic here. But always remember that academics come first. So we have no apology for high academic expectations. And I can say this with complete confidence because I've witnessed over years and years that support staff and profs here at EMU want you to succeed, and they will exert amazing efforts to partner with you toward that end. But it's also true you need to do your part. Attend class regularly, complete assignments on time, participate in class discussions. Now, this may come as a little surprise to you as parents. Try as you might, you can't take full responsibility for making sure this happens. And I'm tempted to say it's not rocket science, but I guess if you're an engineering student, maybe it is rocket science. But to be successful in university studies really begins with some of those very basic understandings. And I've actually heard professors here say, if a student shows up to every class and they do their work on time and they demonstrate interest in and participation, it's very difficult to fail that student from the professor's perspective because they know that you have exerted all of the intention that you can to be successful. But we also celebrate the idea that each of us is more than a mind, and that as human beings we have an innate desire to connect with God and with others. Jesus put it this way, to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't think the New Testament uses the current term holistic, at least I don't remember in my Greek studies here at the seminary, but the concept is all there in that one phrase. 2 weeks ago in our annual faculty staff conference to begin the academic year, one of our former basketball stars at EMU, now pastor Leonard Dow, from Philadelphia encouraged us as faculty and staff to tend our souls in our roles at EMU. And he spoke rather directly to us, to our tendency to invest high energy in our students, by reminding us that there is such a thing as compassion fatigue and that the antidote to fatigue is soul care. So the reality is that we do strongly encourage our faculty and staff to participate regularly in a local congregation in order to be nurtured spiritually so that they can continue to give to our students. I'm not exactly sure what Jesus meant when he added strength to the ways we love God, but it's not a stretch for me to think that he had in mind taking care of ourselves physically. And here's a little side note. Numerous studies have shown over the last number of years that there's a very strong correlation between physical exertion and academic performance. And it stands to reason. Vigorous exercise results in greater energy, and it optimizes the ability of the body to deliver oxygen to the brain. Interesting little factoid. Last year's women's cross-country team at EMU had the highest average GPA in the entire nation. Now, the reality is we don't all have to run cross-country, but engaging in any form of exercise, and this is borne by many studies, any form of exercise that elevates the heart rate for at least 30 minutes a day does pay dividends academically. And finally, at the risk of negating the notion that this is not summer camp, we do value the formation of deep personal relationships at EMU. And here I'll take just a little risk to suggest that we find ways to be less tethered to our smartphones when we have opportunities to actually be in a conversation with others in our physical presence. I'm speaking to myself here, but I have to tell you, I find it a little odd. I first saw this over on the JMU campus, but now I see it here too. So, when I would see two or three friends walking down the street on the sidewalk in a clump, and they're each texting somewhere, presumably not to each other, but it's a little disconcerting, if I'm really honest. Now, okay, I'm old. I understand that. But I do think it's really important for us to constantly engage and think about how we're engaging others in our presence, along with remaining in touch with other people, perhaps from other parts of our lives. I close again with this passage from Ephesians. And let this be our prayer. For this reason I kneel before God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to God's power that is worked within us, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, thank you for the message, President Lauren Schwarzendruber. And from also Rose Jancy, a senior student, an undergraduate, and Jared Lyons, is our multicultural student advisor. We move to a time of blessing. And the flowers that we have right here represent what's often understood to be an expression of beauty, freshness, something unique that grows from the soil with rain and sunshine and often nurture and care. These flowers were grown at Willow Spring Farm, farm in Linville, Edom, just north of Harrisonburg. And we'd like each of you who are new students in a moment to come forward and select a flower to take with you. We offer these flowers as a sign of blessing for you as you begin a new experience as a student within our campus community, a threshold into adulthood. These flowers can also be an expression of the variety which together you bring, the unique gifts and interests and callings that we hope will grow and blossom and become something beautiful for our community, our nation, our world, for each other. And for parents and family who are present, these flowers can remind us that we support and nurture and care for our children, and have in the past and will in the future. That these who are now college students are entering another stage of growth, of becoming a young adult, of exploring and discovering new aspects of their identity and their direction for life. So now, as music is playing in a moment, we invite each of you new students to come forward and receive a flower from one of the buckets. They'll be held by Jared and myself over in this aisle, and Lauren and Lana in this aisle. Take the flower with you as an expression of God's blessing for you this year. And after you've come forward and chosen a flower, please return to your seat, and as you return, listening to the music, observe your flower closely. Notice its unique shape, its color, its imperfections, and the miracle of its beauty. And perhaps pass it along to members of your family or friends sitting nearby so that they can notice the uniqueness of the flower as well. And then hold it. Keep it. Take it with you as a symbol of hope for this venture upon which you are embarking. O Lord, may your comforting, guiding, powerful spirit be deeply present among us here this morning. May we seek to see the beauty which you have created within each one of us. May we have the courage and curiosity to explore all that you have created, and may we rest in the assurance of your presence now and in the days to come. Amen.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to receive this morning's offering. The offering we receive this day each year is for the EMU Compassion Fund. And the funds donated for this offering are coordinated by campus ministries to assist students with unexpected expenses, sometimes medical or dental costs, above and beyond their expectations, travel to be with family at times of loss, other unexpected events that cause stress, where some monetary funds help to relieve some of those stressors. This is one of the ways that we are community together, sharing at EMU with one another's burdens, caring for each other, and especially caring for our students. Let's pray for this offering. Merciful and gracious God, from whose open hand we have received so much, we ask you to accept this offering of your people. Remember in your love those who have brought it, and also those persons and purposes for which it is given. We pray that this offering may promote peace and goodwill for the continuing work of your church in our world. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
for benediction. We're all embarking on an adventure of letting go and holding on. We've offered and received welcome. We've been encouraged to seek ways of connecting. Sometimes it's been overwhelming, but we know that our life experiences, faith, and nurture have brought us to this point, and that God is with us, with each one of us. God's love shines through and surrounds us. So as we go, as you go, be led forth with peace and go with joy.